again. Although my throat burned a bit from the shrieking, I was pleased with how successful I'd been in impersonating his voice. Maybe I'd added a touch too much whiny bitch to my impression of him, but then the dream crusher deserved every tiny little thing coming his way. My ex-fiancé seemed uncertain of how to calm the wild banshee in me, so he attempted the old talk-the-jumper-off-the-roof strategy by lifting both arms up in a calming gesture and slowly walking toward me in soothing strides. Surprisingly, the approach seemed to be having the desired effect on me, and I was contemplating hearing him out. But then he recklessly miscalculated by placing his pointer finger to his lips and saying, "Casey, shh." "Do not shush me," I snarled through gritted teeth. "You have some nerve. I just can't believe you. You're leaving me? Is that what this is? You're leaving me at the altar? Do you have any idea what a diabolical douchebag that makes you?"
"I'm not."
Perhaps Jake was trying to answer my question, but I was in no mood to give him that chance. Waving my irate hand in his face, I continued my tirade. "Listen, Sparky, I'm not interested in your half-witted excuses. How dare you? I can't even look at you right now, turd bucket." Holy hell. That expression on his face had better not be amusement.
"Casey, can you let me talk?"
"No. I think we're past explanations, you polynomial pissant." Oh, crap. Had I just insulted him with a math term? Yes. Yes, I had. Damn it, I needed to focus. "We're at the point now where I kick your ass across state lines." Oh, my God. Was he laughing at me? Unable to control the rage, I opened my fingers and let my palm fly straight for Jake's face. Impressively, he caught my wrist mid-slap.
"Whoa, okay, right to the violence," he said,
looking more entertained than anything else. "Oh, you're going to get worse than that, dipwad. You realize my whole family is out there. Aunts, uncles, cousins. I've even got second cousins once removed waiting for me to walk down the aisle. And my poor Aunt Betty, they wheeled her here from the hospital, Jake. The hospital!"
"It's not like she was dying," he said, releasing my wrist. "She had bunion surgery."
"I don't care!" I shouted. How dare he downgrade her very real medical condition? "She's here, her toe doubled in size, and now, like all the others, she will get to witness my complete and utter disgrace."
"I didn't come here to break it off with you."
I tried to focus on his face, but the furor had me seeing double. Please tell me he wasn't proposing what I thought he was proposing. Did he seriously think I'd even consider continuing to date him after he callously dumped my ass at the altar? "Oh, huh." I tapped my finger to my lips, trying to pretend like I was actually giving his outrageous proposal some merit. "So what you're saying is, you just want to go back to where we were before you humiliated me in front of everyone. Wow, how convenient for you." "Yeah, I don't think so, ass-butt." Damn it, I really needed to cool it with the insults. Now I was just grabbing any two off-colored words and hooking them together.
"The wedding's still on,"
he said, rushing the words out before I could stop him again.
"If you'll still have me after you hear me out."
"What? Why would you pull me out here just before the ceremony?"
"We need to talk. There's something I've been trying to tell you all morning, but one thing after another has been getting in the way. And then when I finally did make it to you, well, obviously I miscalculated what your reaction would be."
I could hear him talking, but he might as well have been speaking an alien dialect for all the words meant to me. I opened and closed my mouth numerous times without any sound until Jake came to the rescue, sort of, by transforming his hand into a talking puppet to illustrate his point. Finally, I understood. "Hold on there. Are you telling me that you scared the living baby squirrels out of me so we could have a nice little pre-wedding chat? Have you ever heard of the talking device called a phone, genius?" The sheepish grin gave me the first bit of relief since his teary-eyed invasion set me on a collision course with Crazy Town. Maybe the wedding really was still on. But if that were the case, it made Jake the stupidest groom to have ever roamed this earth. I slapped his chest with my perfectly manicured hand.
"Would you please stop hitting me? You really need anger management classes. And ass butt? Where do you come up with that shit? I mean, how awesomely redundant was that?"
All the tension dropped from my body as I felt the tiniest of smiles grace my face. "Well, you know, I do have a gift for the spoken word." He nodded in amusement.
So what are you saying? I asked, still shaken. Are we still getting married?
It depends. Are you going to continue hitting me?
Jutting my chin out, I answered defiantly. It depends. Are you going to marry me? We stared at one another a moment before dissolving into laughter. Once we'd quieted down, I slapped his chest again just because I needed to.
What were you thinking, Jake? Do you have any idea how bad that looked back there? And why were you crying?
I wasn't crying. When I walked into that room, it felt like someone squirted a napalm bomb in my eyes. The tears just started pouring. You know how sensitive my eyes are.
Tears pooled in my own eyes as I struggled to keep the disappointment at bay.
Hey, are you okay?
Jake pulled me into his arms, guilt evident in his remorseful face.
I'm so sorry I scared you.
It's not that. It's just, we can't ever have that moment now.
What moment?
When you see me for the first time as I walk down the aisle, and your eyes fill with love and you think to yourself that I'm the most beautiful bride ever. That moment is ruined. I just don't understand. I mean, I thought Boris and I were pretty clear with you about all the rules. Your only job was to follow them. He dipped his head into my shoulder.
I'm so sorry. But if it's any consolation, I had that moment when I saw you at the end of the bridesmaid tunnel. You took my breath away. And I promise, you were and are the most gorgeous bride I've ever laid eyes on. In fact, I would have taken more time to marvel had you not turned into Bridezilla and started calling me the world's greatest insults. Sparky. Babe, that was epic.
I nodded, returning his smile. I don't think I can stress enough how much you deserved it.
No, I got the gist of it.
So what did you come to say to me that was so important it couldn't wait until after we got married? The mood shifted, and Jake's relaxed demeanor turned troubled.
You asked me a question last night. I came here to answer it.
I knew instantly this wouldn't be something I wanted to hear.
Okay,
I answered, hesitantly.
I should have told you last night. I know that. I just have so much trouble opening up. And then I had a bad night. Didn't sleep much. I felt terrible about lying, and I just really needed to see you.
Regardless of the stunt he'd just pulled, my heart ached. I knew what rough nights were like for him, and I wouldn't wish those on my worst enemy. You want to tell me about your bad night?
Just nightmares.
Ray? He didn't answer, but his sudden rigidness answered my question. Don't let him take this day away from you, Jake, I whispered, lifting my hand to stroke his strong jawline.
It's not just that, Casey. I should have come clean with you yesterday. I've been worried about getting married, not because I don't want to be your husband, but because I don't want to let you down. You have all these ideas about what you want our life to be like, and I don't know if I can do it.
Do what?
Give you what you want. I don't know if I can be the husband you expect or deserve, and I sure as shit don't think I can be the type of father you want for your kids.
What the hell was he saying? And where the hell was all this coming from? Trying to regain my composure, I smoothed down my dress and cleared my throat before asking the question I feared the answer to. Are you saying you don't want children?
It's not that I don't want them, but I see Finn and how natural he is with Indiana, and I feel like, no, I know, I can't be like that.
The revelation rocked me to my core. I'd just taken for granted that he was into the whole fatherhood thing. We'd talked enough about it. And he'd never voiced concern in the past. Or had he? Suddenly it occurred to me that every time I brought it up, Jake humored me before changing the subject. This had been in front of me all along, but I hadn't seen it because I didn't want to. How many other things had he been hiding from me in plain sight? You can't possibly know how you'll be as a father until you are one.
I know. It's just, I've thought a lot about this recently. And I'm just not sure.
You're breaking my heart right now, Jake.
That's why I didn't want to tell you. I didn't want you to leave me. But I can't let you go into this marriage under false pretenses.
I'm going to ask you again. Do you want to have kids with me?
I do. But at the same time, I don't.
That's not an answer. And I need to know this, Jake, because that's something we've always agreed on wanting. Or at least I thought we did. And now if you're changing your mind... I stopped talking and looked away. What exactly was I saying? Was I really willing to give him up if he didn't want to make babies with me?
I want them, Casey. I do. But the thing is, someday the kid is going to grow up and hear stuff about me. How can I explain what happened in a way that won't scar our kid for life? Is it really right to bring a kid into the world who's going to have to live under my umbrella, with all the crap it covers? If I had kids, I'd want them to be proud of me.
Of course they'd be proud of you. You're so much more than just one horrific act perpetrated against you 12 years ago. You can't base your future on what happened in the past.
You don't understand. My past will never go away, and our kid will be the one to pay the price one day.
Tears were slipping down my cheeks now. It felt like my world was imploding. The two things I wanted most didn't want each other. Your kid will be proud of you no matter what, Jake, I said feebly.
Sure, but he'll also be embarrassed by me. I deal with enough shame, Case. I can't feel that way with a child.
But these are all things you can work on. You should never have to feel shame. Jake looked away, not meeting my eye, and I knew then that he was telling me the truth. This was something that was eating him up inside. Okay, look. If you're not ready to start a family, then I'm willing to wait, as long as you promise me that you will work through the issues.
You mean more therapy?
Yes, that's what I mean. Jake dropped his head to study the floor as his hands clenched in frustration.
Therapy makes me feel worse.
Then we find someone else. You just have to try harder. I've seen you when you truly want something. You don't back down. So don't give up on our kids. Bartholomew and Enid need you.
Who are Bartholomew and Enid?
Our future nerdy rocker babies.
Wait, what?
His stunned reaction was tempered only by the amusement playing out over his face.
Those are the names you've picked out. They're all nerd and no rock. You might as well put a kick me sign on their backs. Now I really don't want to have kids with you.
I laughed. He was back to his good-natured self, and my anxiety melted away.
Well, do you have a better idea? Yeah. Like any other names in the entire universe.
Can you be more specific?
You need to think more kick-ass and less kick-my-ass. Something like Axel or Cash. Or for a girl, Stevie.
Oh, Jake, I sighed heavily. You know I'm not cool enough to raise a Stevie.
You just have to try harder,
he said, playfully mocking my words.
Find a new therapist who can talk the nerd right out of you.
I grabbed him by the tux collar and pulled him into a kiss. I love you, Jake McAllister. Thank you for warning me, but I think I'll take my chances. Since meeting Jake, I'd known he was the one for me, so I had no choice but to put every last bit of my faith in him. I held out my hand. What do you say? You ready to get this show on the road? He grabbed it, flashing me his most gorgeous smile.
Let's do this.
Just to be on the safe side, I delivered Jake to the groom's room and instructed the men not to let him out of their sight until we were safely married. The wedding was now officially late, and I had a room full of bridesmaids who probably assumed it had been called off entirely. The moment I re-entered the bride's room, all chatter ceased as every head turned in my direction. It was clear by the look of utter pity on all of their faces that the whole lot of them expected the worst. Who could blame them? Neither Jake, with his teary-eyed interruption, nor I, with my loud declarations of hatred, had given them much hope. Boris came rushing to me.
Oh, honey, I'm so sorry.
He ran his hands over my face.
What did he do to you? You just look awful.
I do? Touching my fingers to my own face, I wondered exactly what had happened to change my appearance so drastically in the 15 minutes I'd been gone. Two soggy, colossal, plunging tears. That's all I'd allowed myself. Surely Boris could work with that.
He's an idiot, and you're better off without him. I never trusted him in the first place. You're a strong, fabulous woman, and you will get through this.
My bridesmaids fanned out around me, making a protective circle. Their misinformed concern warmed my heart. At least I knew who my friends were. In quick succession, the questions came flying. Jake's oldest sister, Emma, asked, "What can we do?" "Do you need to sit down?" Kenzie, Kyle's girlfriend, grasped my arm and prepared to lead me to a chair. Her lips thin with anger, Jake's mother, Michelle, said, "Let me go talk to him. I'm sure he's just nervous." Okay, this needed to end now, before someone said something they would regret, like Boris, who was seconds away from eating his offensively supportive words. "Hello, ladies," I said, clapping my hands. "What is this, a funeral?" A blanket of confusion percolated through the room, and everyone looked to each other for answers. Perhaps they all thought I was in denial, but not my mother. If there was one person in this world who knew me inside and out, it was she. Instantly picking up on my mood, and without skipping a beat, Mom slyly asked, "That depends. Is Jake's body in the hallway?" "No," I laughed. "He's alive and breathing, people. And I don't know what all these long faces are for, but I'm getting married in a few minutes, so is it too much to ask for some smiles?" The shift in the room was immediate, and relief dripped off every surface. Except for Boris. Poor, poor Boris. He was now gagging on his words, and by the nauseous look on his face, they weren't tasting real good coming back up.
I didn't mean anything bad when I called Jake an idiot. I don't think that at all. He's very smart.
Boris, relax. He was an idiot. How many times did we have to tell him he couldn't see the bride before the ceremony? I mean, use your brain, dude. Am I right? He let out a long, deep breath, using one hand to place over his heart and the other to fan his bright red face.
Please don't tell him I said that.
Closing my mouth, I turned the imaginary key and flung it over his shoulder. He mouthed, "Thank you," and all was forgotten. Do I really look that awful?
Not at all, he said, smiling with his mouth but not with his eyes. We're just going to...
Boris abruptly stopped with the pep talk once he'd examined my face and fluffed my hair, perhaps coming to the realization that my beauty issues were well beyond his vast capabilities. He screamed over his shoulder,
"Hair, makeup, now!"
His minions came running, and while I was undergoing the transformation from hideously dumped Casey to radiantly wedded bride, the others were ushered to the lobby of the church. I looked around. Had my maid of honor also left? Her level head would do me well now. It had taken a lot of thought about who I wanted in that position in my wedding procession. I had so many amazing girlfriends who all supported me in their own unique ways. In the end, the woman I chose had always been there for me, and was a constant reminder of how blessed a life I led.
"Yes, we're a go,"
I heard Boris say into his phone. Suddenly nerves attacked my calm, and my hands began to shake. "It's starting?"
"As soon as the bride arrives, it is,"
he beamed, holding his hand out to me.
"Shall we?"
I stood on my shaking legs, suddenly self-conscious. The church was packed full, and in a few minutes' time, all eyes would be on me. "Do I look okay?"
"I say this to all my brides, but this time I mean it. You're the most beautiful of them all."
Boris's eyes shone with affection as he took me in from head to toe, and I have to say, I almost believed him. "Thank you for everything, Boris. It's been a pleasure."
"That, my lovely lady, it most certainly has."
Anxious flutters tickled my chest. Whew, I'm nervous all of a sudden.
"No need. You're marrying the man of your dreams. Never stop smiling."
He was right. I was lucky beyond belief. Hooking my hand through his folded arm, I smiled radiantly. "I'm ready, Boris. Take me to my man." The click of my heels was the only sound we made on our way to the front lobby. This was the exact path I'd walked at Kate and Mitch's wedding, and I had a moment of déjà vu. I remembered the racing heart and the fluttery exhilaration of seeing him again. He'd rocked my world from the first time I'd met him, and he was still doing that now. In all honesty, I shouldn't have been surprised by that interruption before the ceremony. There was an air of unpredictability with Jake that had always intrigued and challenged me. He was complicated and tough, possessing just the right amount of mystery to keep things interesting. But at the same time, he had a wit and charm to him that I could only have dreamed of in a mate. This was the amazing man I was marrying, and if I had to postpone holding his baby in my arms, it would be worth the wait. The lobby was filled with a hushed excitement. All the people I loved had gathered here to celebrate the beginning of a new chapter in my life. I scanned the room, seeking to capture the extraordinary moment in my mind. This was it. My future was about to begin. The music started playing in the church before flowing down the aisle and out into the lobby where we stood. My father walked to my side and kissed my cheek.
"Dad." "My sweet little girl. Look at you now. I'm not sure I'm ready to give you away just yet."
His misty eyes threatened to break me down, but I swallowed back the lump and smiled at the man who treated me with love and respect my whole life, and who had taught me to demand the same treatment from my own mate one day.
"You've done your job," I whispered. "It's time to let me go."
He nodded, wiping the tears away, and then offered his arm to me. Jake's younger sister, Grace, began the processional, followed by Emma and Darcy, then my good friends Kate and Kenzie. The final bridesmaid was Wilhelmina, or Willa for short, my best friend since third grade. The flower girl and ring bearer, my niece and nephew, Sydney and Riley, followed them down the aisle. My matron of honor came to me then, her eyes glowing with love as she tenderly touched both my cheeks with her capable hands.
"This is your moment, Casey. Go out there and shine."
"I will, Mom."
She hugged me tightly before fitting the veil over my face. Her trembling lip was the only giveaway to the emotion of the moment. My mother, my best friend, my confidant, and the woman I loved most in the world. She gave me my personality, my zest for life, and my loving heart. I would not be who I was without her, and was forever grateful to call her Mom. For all those reasons and more, it was only natural that she would take that place of honor in the procession. I stood close to my father as my mother began her walk down the aisle. When the music briefly stopped, I took a deep breath and looked to my father for guidance, as I had my whole life. He squeezed my hand, saying,
"You got this."
And then the music began to play for me, the moment I'd been waiting for since Jake dropped to one knee and proposed 14 months ago. But really, I'd waited longer than that. This was a milestone most girls dreamed of, and I was no exception. The fact that I was about to walk down that aisle into the arms of my one true great love, well, that was beyond humbling. I stepped into the doorway and watched, as every person in the church turned to stare as I came into view in my billowy white gown with an armful of my very favorite flowers, the same varieties Jake had decorated the wooden arch on the beach with when he'd asked me to marry him.
"Jake!"
My eyes moved off the guests and traveled down the aisle. On the stairs, smack dab in the middle, stood my betrothed waiting for me. Even as far apart as we were, our eyes connected, and nothing had ever felt so right. I would have run to him had I not thought Boris would beat me over the head with a party favor. Goosebumps prickled my skin as I began the walk, never taking my eyes off the prize. And oh, Lord, what a prize he was. It wasn't just that he was a gorgeous man, or that he was beloved by millions, or that he could buy me whatever I desired. No, it was something far less material. Simply put, Jake had given me his heart. And that might seem standard protocol for all grooms, but with Jake, it wasn't just a matter of falling in love. He'd had to battle demons, survive battles, and hand himself over for healing. So yes, it was a big deal that he was standing up here today wearing his mended heart on his sleeve. It was a damn big deal. And with my vows, I would promise to make it my duty to always keep it beating strong. I didn't even remember getting to the end of the aisle, but when I did, Jake was waiting for me, strong and proud. He and my father exchanged a handshake before Jake broke wedding protocol again and hugged me. Bending his head, he whispered,
"The moment wasn't ruined. I've never, in my life, seen anyone as beautiful as you."
Climbing the stairs together, we met the minister, who began the proceedings.
"Ladies and gentlemen,
We are gathered here today. Jake and I stared into each other's eyes as the man regaled us with his words of wedded wisdom. We were not the first lovebirds to stand before him, and would certainly not be the last, but we were unique in our own way. Two opposites, who together made perfect sense. Somehow 5 minutes passed, and I barely heard a word. My mind was flooded with memories, from our first meeting to our whirlwind courtship through the hardships we'd faced. All of that had come together for this flawless moment in time. Thankfully, there was a recording of the proceedings, because I'd need to watch it back just to know what had happened during the ceremony.
Casey?
I looked up to find the minister staring at me expectantly.
Your vows? He prompted.
Oh, yeah. Oops. One job. I had one job. Pay attention during the wedding, and I couldn't even do that. Unable to trust my memory at such an important moment in my life, I unfolded the crumbled paper in my hand. Jake, in writing these vows, I was consumed by finding the perfect word to best describe how I feel when I'm with you. There were many contenders. Loved, of course, because you show me every day in both your actions and your words that I'm cherished. Respected, no doubt, because you want me to always shine in my own right. And let's not forget happy, because with you, I'm never without a bright smile on my face. But Jake, the word that best describes how you make me feel is lucky. Lucky that Mitch and Kate had the sense to pair us up for their wedding. Lucky that you didn't get a restraining order against me when I pulled that dancing prank on you during our first meeting. Lucky that I get to look at your handsome face every day for the rest of my life. But most of all, I feel lucky to have found you. My love, my best friend, my dream come true. I love you, Jake McAllister, and I always will. Throughout my vows, Jake kept his focus on me, reacting to each of my words with varying displays of emotion. It was clear my sentiments hit him in the core, and it took him a moment to gather himself in order to give his own vows. And when he began, no visual cues were needed.
Before you, Casey, I'd seen love. Even thought I knew what it was all about. I've created songs dedicated to it, and watched others parade their happiness before me. Yet, realistically, I had no faith in the concept of love, and I never imagined finding it for myself. Then you came along, with that ridiculous banana binder of yours, and turned everything I thought I knew upside down. Casey, I love that, in the middle of a kiss, I can feel you smiling. I love that when you ask for directions, you request that words like east and west not be used. And I love that you hold up sappy signs for me as I'm getting off airplanes. Because of you, I now get to flaunt my own happiness in everyone else's faces. So thank you for that.
Jake paused, not only to allow the giggles in the church to fade away, but also to change the vibe of his speech from playful to sentimental. Taking my hands in his, he continued,
"You're my changing storyline, my favorite dream, my redemption. I can now say with confidence, I finally get it. I know what love is. It's you, Casey, from beginning to end."
Maybe I should have been bawling after Jake finished his heartfelt speech, but all I felt was joy. There wasn't anything more he needed to say. No matter where this world took us, I had made a difference in it. I had changed this man for the better. Made him feel again, and love. And if that were the last gift I ever received in life, I would die a happy woman. The minister placed his hands over our joined ones and had us repeat after him the traditional wedding vows. To have and to hold from this day forward, for better or worse, for richer and for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, from this day forward, until death do us part. Looking out over the group gathered to witness our union, I was suddenly grateful for the smaller crowd. These were the people who loved us, who wanted us to succeed. There were no hangers-on in this group, no people here for a photo op. These were just friends and family, eager to witness our love and the beginning of our life together. So, as Jake slipped the ring over my finger, it was our beginning. But also, in my heart and mind, an ending. The search was over. I'd found my other half, the man I would grow old with. In that moment, I pictured us time-worn and gray, sitting shoulder to shoulder in a diner booth, not because there was no room to sit on the other side, but because we just liked being close to one another. I'd make sure he stayed interested in me by keeping him on his toes at all times. A little kiss here, a butt grab there, and of course, the paper from my straw blown straight into his face when he least expected it. That's what the ring meant to me. A lifelong friendship with the man I loved. And with one final, heart-thumping sentence, the minister smiled and proclaimed,
"I now pronounce you husband and wife."
Chapter 6. The Reception. Was there a certain protocol to kissing the bride? I wasn't sure. Maybe that was something I should have checked on before standing up in front of everyone, clutching her face and planting a solid lip lock on her. With tongue. Based on Casey's zealous reaction, and that of her female relatives, whom I'd caught fanning themselves after the steamy kiss, I'd scored solid tens across the board. However, I hadn't taken into consideration the rest of the judging panel, namely her father and brothers, who seemed not nearly as impressed as the females. If I had to guess, my combined scores would have come in somewhere in the average range. All in all, though, a solid showing, given the way I'd been feeling after seeing Casey walking down the aisle at the beginning of the ceremony. If anything, the kiss was a reflection of her splendor. I'm not trying to be overdramatic here, but it really was like an out-of-body experience, as if I were looking down on the proceedings wondering who the hell the lucky bastard was who got her. The fact that the bastard was me became clearer and clearer the closer she got. If human eyes could bulge like those of cartoon characters, mine would have been a few inches outside their sockets. Casey was beyond all expectation. My tailor-made princess. Her purity and grace were magnified by the beautiful face under the veil. Her expression was serene, like a woman who was sure of her choice and soulmate. It struck me then that Casey was so much more than I deserved. Had she not met me, her life would have been a whole hell of a lot easier. But I'd fought hard for my bride, and selfish or not, I wasn't going anywhere until I made her mine. And making it official was just what I'd done. Casey and I stood facing the guests, soaking in the applause and well-wishes. I couldn't remember a moment I'd felt as happy as now. We were husband and wife. Life, from here on out, would be lived together. I'd promised her to try harder, and I would. Giving her everything she wanted was my priority, even if it meant facing the ghosts of my past. I glanced at my bride only to find her peering up at me with a glint in her eye and a conspiratorial grin on her face. Maybe she was remembering the searing kiss. I know I was still fevered from it. But when the music started, I realized that smile of hers had nothing to do with the kiss at all. Casey had something more sinister up her sleeve. She was taunting me with weddings past. "Don't look at me like that, babe," she said, laughing. "You know exactly what's happening here." My eyes left her in order to stare down the wedding party. Surely they weren't a part of this shakedown. But one look at all those expectant faces, and I knew Casey had turned them against me. I made eye contact with Keith, but he shrugged. My brothers, even? Damn it, defectors, all of them. "We are not doing the wedding dance," I protested. I'd managed to dodge it once before at Mitch and Kate's wedding, but like a case of aggressive crabs, it was back to haunt me. I really had no choice. Either I looked like a douche for not finding Casey's joke whimsically fun, or I looked like a total idiot for pretending to be a happy participant in one of the stupidest ideas any bride or groom had ever come up with to entertain their guests. Casey nudged me forward, her eyes pleading for my cooperation. Well, shit. This was happening. I was doing the dance. Mentally preparing myself for the humiliation, I looked to Casey for guidance. Just as the music suddenly stopped, and the entire church erupted in laughter. I looked around, not sure what was happening, but certain I was the butt of the hysterical joke. Casey grabbed my shoulders. "I'm just kidding," she said, laughing. "I'd never do that to you." "So we're not, no dancing, Jake. Just your standard wedding fare." What the hell? Twice. She'd gotten me twice with the same damn joke. How could I not have known? I bent over and grabbed my knees, exhaling audibly. When the shock passed, I looked up at my new bride and said, "You suck."
"I love you too. Now walk me down the aisle."
Because of the helicopters overhead, the outdoor portion of our wedding pictures was canceled, and everything was taken inside the church after the ceremony. It was just as well, since the temperature had already hit triple digits. I'd planned my tour schedule around an August wedding, giving myself 4 weeks off between the end of the European leg of the tour and the beginning of the Asian shows. Since the decision to move the wedding from Southern California to Arizona happened after the tour had already been set and tickets had been sold, there was no option but to marry in August, when it was hot as balls outside. Because of security issues, those of us from the wedding party were given a police escort to the reception where our other guests were waiting. Originally, the plan had been for Casey and me to leave the church in our own limo, but we didn't want the police to make a separate trip just for us, so we hitched a ride with Kyle, Kenzie, and Keith. The crowd of well-wishers who'd been pushed back earlier in the day were now crowding on the small two-lane road leading out from the church. Some people held signs or flowers, but one committed woman stood on the curb in a wedding dress and veil.
"Aha, she's pretty," Casey cooed. "And look, we're twinning."
"Aha, and by the looks of it," Kyle said, "you're both marrying the same guy. I'm honestly surprised she's not splattered with pig's blood."
"She doesn't have to be a creepy stalker, Kyle. Be more sensitive. What if she was just jilted by her fiancé? Those things happen," she said, elbowing me in the ribs. "Right, Jake?"
Before I could respond, the woman on the curb answered Casey's question by lifting up the top of her two-piece wedding gown to reveal "Marry Me" written across her bare breasts. "Whoa," we all screamed in unison, not having expected such a bold proposal. Casey playfully tried shielding my eyes. "Damn, that was so unexpected," I said, my vision still trained on the words written on her bosom. It's not like I hadn't been flashed before, but this was the first time by a woman wrapped in white satin.
"What did I tell you?" Kyle said,
a smug look of satisfaction on his face.
"Stalker." "You know, Jake," Keith smirked, "if you just held out a day longer, you and the flasher could have been so happy together."
Kyle was peering out the window with a puzzled expression on his face.
"You know what I wonder? How did she write that on herself? Wouldn't that be upside down when you look in a mirror?"
"Try backwards, dumb shit," Keith insulted, slapping him on the backside of his head.
"Kenzie, I thought he was getting smarter dating you."
"Look, bud," Kenzie addressed him directly, "I do the best I can, but I only have so much to work with here." Kyle grabbed for her as she squirmed away.
"You don't diss me and get away with it," he said, throwing himself over her as she squealed in laughter. "Oh, Jesus. Happy couples everywhere," Keith complained. "Why didn't I ride in the kid's car?"
"I thought you had a girlfriend," Casey said. "You asked to bring her to the wedding anyway."
"I never said I was bringing her. I just wondered if I could invite someone on such short notice. But she wasn't my girlfriend. We went out twice. I didn't bring her because I didn't want to introduce her to the family and get her hopes up."
"Her hopes up?" Kyle grinned. "Yeah, Keith, you're the catch of a century."
"Well, I'm no Uncle Paul, but..."
Kenzie looked around, confused. "Who's Uncle Paul?"
"Only the hunkiest old guy alive today. And did anyone happen to catch a glimpse of his date?" Keith asked.
I thought back to the guests in the church, but had no memory of even seeing my dad's older brother. And a 55-year-old man with One Direction hair and a dark, leathery tan was not easy to miss. Nor were the types of women he normally dated. Knowing Uncle Paul, his date would be ravishing. When we were younger, the women he brought around had always starred in our wet dreams.
"I did not. She was that good, huh?"
"Dude, she was banging. And our age. I mean, I totally bow down to the man. How does he do it?"
"It's the surfer thing," said Kyle, in all his infinite wisdom. "Doesn't matter how old you are, girls just dig it. Right, Kenzie?"
"Oh yes, I love it. Kyle's super sexy when he arrives home smelling like seaweed and trailing sand through the apartment. I especially enjoy when he comes to me crying about chafing and wants me to rub soothing ointment in places I don't want to talk about."
FYI, Kenzie, I don't cry. I simply articulate in a very manly way that I have sand collecting in areas of my body that terrify me.
I told you, Kyle, you can't get kidney stones if sand collects in the tip of your penis.
And you know this how? Do you have a medical degree that you forgot to mention?
If it bothers you that much, go see a doctor, Kenzie said. Or better yet, Google it.
Right, because the internet is the place for sound medical advice. Casey put a stop to their bickering by pressing Keith for more information on the mystery woman he had been thinking of bringing to the wedding, but didn't.
You're talking about the woman you met at the studio, right? I thought you said she was perfect for you.
Yeah, I thought she was, but turns out I was wrong. Keith shrugged, seemingly indifferent to the conversation. There were red flags from the beginning. Both Kyle and I groaned in unison.
What? You guys are assholes. You didn't meet her, so don't go hating on me.
Keith always found some excuse for why he couldn't get serious with a woman, and usually it was the pettiest excuse you could imagine. He dumped one for wearing red toenail polish and another because he didn't like the way she ran her tongue over her teeth.
What horrible disorder did this one have? I asked. A hangnail?
I'm not sure I know what you're referring to. Keith knew full well where this line of questioning was going, but was playing coy for laughs. You don't think it's just slightly weird that you won't call a girl back because you don't like the way she pronounces caramel? Okay, I stand by that one. Caramel is not three syllables, and you know it. I groaned. You're the nitpickiest person I've ever met.
I like what I like.
Keith slid down in his seat, hooking his hands behind his head.
Big deal.
You never told us what this one did,
Casey asked, clearly excited for the answer.
She probably blinks too much, Kyle said.
Keith's lips curved in delight as he caught our amused expressions and matched it with his own.
Well, now I don't want to say.
Did she have a crooked toe? Kenzie suggested. Or bad breath? Casey guessed.
You make me sound so shallow,
Keith beamed. If you must know, she parts her hair in the middle. The four of us traded puzzled expressions.
You know, like smack dab in the middle?
I'm telling you, it's a total deal-breaker. Laughter swept through the ranks. Even for Keith, hair parts were stretching it. He hadn't always been this way, but since breaking up with his ex, his focus was all off. Keith needed to just let her go and move on. I couldn't tell yet if being in the same room with Sam after so many months apart would be good for him or not, but at least we didn't have to contend with either of them bringing a date.
Damn, that girl with the middle part must have been hideous,
Kyle shuddered, fixing his stare on Kenzie with a mischievous grin wide across his face.
Hey!
She jabbed him with her thumb. Her hair was currently being worn with a part smack dab down the middle.
No offense, Keith said offhandedly. It looks good on you.
Oh, right. Thanks.
I watched her run her fingers through her straight hair, flipping a few strands here or there to lessen the stark appearance. Trying to be nonchalant with the question she really wanted an answer to, Casey asked,
Did you see Sam at the church?
She was in the back, but yeah, I saw her.
We all watched him.
What?
The stare down continued.
I'm not sure what you think is going to happen, but I can assure you we aren't getting back together. Samantha made that perfectly clear.
We arrived to fanfare. Boris had made certain of that. Because we were robbed of the church exit we'd been hoping for, a cascade of white feathers floated down on us as we entered the reception hall.
Please tell me Boris didn't pluck the feathers off live doves for this,
I whispered in Casey's ear, while keeping the obligatory smile on my face. Casey leaned into me.
Maybe if you were a little more involved in the planning process of our wedding, you would know that there are 1,000 naked birds convalescing in the avian hospital as we speak.
Did we at least send them get well cards?
We did. They should be up and flying in a few years' time.
I blew a feather out of my face and smiled at my wife before giving her a kiss on the cheek. Seconds later, we were surrounded. Casey's parents were standing at the end of the welcoming committee, and Linda immediately embraced me.
I'm so happy you're officially part of the family. Now, I don't have to pretend to be nice to you anymore.
Oh, were you being nice before? I asked, meeting her mischievous grin with my own. I couldn't tell. Linda grabbed my face and kissed my cheek.
You know I love you, and especially adore how much you love my daughter.
I leaned in to give my new mother-in-law a hug. I'll make her happy, I promise.
You already do.
Linda and I had hit it off on our very first meeting, and our friendship had only grown from there. And now that bond extended to the rest of Casey's family. Just as I would for my own flesh and blood, I'd do anything for the Caldwell clan. Such an attachment might seem natural to most people, but for me it was a somewhat surprising development. I'd spent so many years cut off from others, believing I didn't have the capacity to develop feelings of love toward anyone who hadn't been in my life from the very start. Casey had proved that theory wrong when she charmed her way into my life overnight. Still, that could be explained away as romantic love. Caring for a whole group of people, that was a different story. Yet that's what happened when I was first introduced to the Caldwells. They'd welcomed me in with open arms, accepting me despite my unusual profession and highly checkered past. Spending time with them never felt forced, and I found myself easily bonding. It just went to show that there was no chokehold on my heart, and there never had been. The limitations I'd placed upon myself were entirely of my own doing, and once I let go of them and opened up to the possibilities, I was able to blend them into my world. When I exchanged my vows this afternoon, I hadn't just gained a wife, but an entire family. Dave placed his hand on my shoulder, and maybe it was just me, but it felt like his fingers were digging into my flesh a little more aggressively than they should have been. One look in his direction told me he wasn't feeling the love like his wife was.
Really? He asked, shaking his head at me. Was that really necessary?
I knew exactly what he was referring to, the kiss, and I smiled sheepishly.
Sorry, it wasn't planned, if that helps.
Dave made a show of swallowing an invisible lump before saying, No, it doesn't go down any easier. Here's the deal, Jake. I know my daughter's an adult. It's just, I'd rather not have her romantic life, for lack of a better term, shoved down my throat. You know what I'm saying?
I definitely do.
Good. Nice chat. His fingers disengaged as he walked away, and I followed after him with my stunned eyes.
That was badass.
When had Dave, the mild-mannered office manager, become an ex-CIA shakedown artist? One thing was for certain. In the future, it would be wise to keep the steam level in the dad-pleasing mild range with Casey for the rest of our lives. Luke came galloping up, shaking my hand and slapping my back in unison.
Welcome to the family, bro. Is this a good time to ask for a loan?
The smile on his face was contagious. Luke was just a good-natured person who shared so many admirable traits with his sister. It really was impossible not to like him. Over the past 2 years, Luke had taught me a thing or two about not taking life so seriously. He really could teach a class in positivity. After all, this was a guy who, when told to have a good day, always responded with, "Have a better one."
"Don't do it, Jake," Miles said, coming up behind him and putting his brother in a chokehold. "I loaned him money in the second grade, and he never paid it back."
"It was a gumball machine," Luke said, performing an awkward pirouette to extract himself from Miles's grasp. "I cannot believe you still bring that up. Would you like me to pay you back? Would that make you happy?"
Luke made a show of checking his pockets for change, and when he couldn't find any, he asked,
"Jake, do you have 25 cents on you?"
He'd been asking for loans since the beginning of our relationship. Not for the money, mind you, but for the laugh he got by pointing out my income.
"Not for you," I responded.
"Ah, that's okay. I wasn't going to pay Miles back anyway, the tightwad."
My mother, her arm hooked in Casey's, arrived to give me a hug, but we ended up doing a weird three-person one instead.
"That was such a beautiful wedding," she said, her eyes filling with tears.
"Are you crying?"
I asked, smiling my amusement by her predictable display of emotion.
"What?"
she said, slapping my shoulder as a smile spread across her face.
"Why is it that you and your brothers insist on finding enjoyment in my tears?"
"They just come at such random times is all."
There's nothing random about it, Jake, Casey said, pushing me. They're wedding tears.
Exactly. Mom dabbed hers dry with a far-off, dreamy look.
There's just something about being on the cusp of life with your whole world waiting for you that slays me every time. It's going to be a beautiful ride.
Her normally stoic posture sagged under the emotions of the moment. There was more to her words than just standard sentiment. The life she spoke of, the one waiting for me, had only been made possible by my mother's undying devotion. I gathered her into my arms and whispered in her ear,
"Thanks to you, Mom."
With the ceremony behind us, it was time to focus on fun, and that's just what I intended to do. After last night's challenges, I needed to relax and just let loose. The free-flowing alcohol helped with that. If there was ever a time to celebrate, it was now. I just married the woman I loved and was surrounded by a group of people who wanted only the best for us. The steady stream of well-wishers kept Casey and me busy nearly the entire reception. There would be no sneaking off to a hidden balcony tonight or a trip to some corner table to rest our weary feet. Tonight we took center stage, and it was our happiness that was on display. Well, that and all the amazing touches Casey and Boris had put into making this an unforgettable night. The two had outdone themselves. The way they paired and blended items to capture both our personalities made the reception seem almost homey to me. From the hanging floral centerpieces, each featuring floating glass balls resembling bubbles, to the single most unique party favor I'd ever seen, a crystal-encrusted guitar-shaped calculator, it was clear that every detail had been planned and executed with care. The best part of all, not having been an active participant in the planning process, were the surprises that awaited me at every turn. I had to hand it to Boris. He was well worth the exorbitant amount of money I'd paid him. Perhaps my favorite part of the evening's touches was the menu, which Casey had handpicked to feature everything I loved to eat. It wasn't a fancy dinner meant to impress, but a down-home meal of tri-tip and baked potatoes. While I chowed down, Casey was busy holding court and looking effortlessly ravishing in her wedding gown. Not able to help myself, I frequently leaned over to give her kisses, just because she was so incredibly beautiful, and I loved her so damn much. Midway through dinner, Casey and I were surprised by a performance by Quinn, accompanied by Emma on the piano. He'd stepped up to the microphone, appearing not only confident, but also older and wiser than I'd ever seen him. He caught my eye, almost defiantly, as if he thought maybe I'd shoo him off the stage or something. Suddenly I felt bad for the interaction we'd had last night. He'd probably been working on this song for weeks in order to surprise me, and I'd been a total dick to him. Quinn gripped the microphone. "I have a confession to make. I was Jake's youngest and first fan. When I was a little boy, I used to hide in the family room to listen to him play. It wasn't just that I loved his music, which I did, but I actually imagined myself being him. I swore I'd be as good as that someday. Well, I'm still trying. But the thing with Jake is that catching up to him is a losing battle because the better I get, the better he gets. Still, it's a challenge I take on every single day of my life. I'm committed to making him proud no matter how long it takes. Jake, you're my brother, my mentor, and my inspiration. And Casey, I liked you from the very start. You're a great addition to the family. Congratulations to both of you." And with those heartfelt words, Emma led the way on the piano, and then Quinn began to sing. For the first time in my life, I really listened. The subtle nuances in his voice, the tonality, and his superior guitar playing skills shocked me. Quinn was no hanger-on. He was the real goddamn deal. How had I not seen this before? He wasn't looking for a handout. Quinn just wanted my approval. I swallowed hard, feeling like a total jerk for the way I'd been treating him. Casey gripped my hand, no doubt sensing my inner turmoil. Leaning in, she whispered in my ear,
"It's never too late to work things out."
No, she got that right. I had a whole lot of groveling to do. Kyle's best man speech followed a number of heartfelt toasts, and without even knowing what was on his note cards, I suspected he would bring the fun. And of course, I wasn't disappointed.
"Hi, everyone. Can I have your attention, please? My name's Kyle, and I'll be your best man for the evening."
After pausing for the applause, as well as a few chuckles, Kyle continued.
I'd like to start by saying thank you to whoever's bright idea it was to have a wedding in August, in Arizona. I'm sweating in places I never knew I could sweat. Now, I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. Jake and Casey. Kyle dropped his voice to boom our names out over the microphone. But I'd really like to know the thought process behind that selection. I mean, I'll be the first to admit I don't always make the smartest choices. In fact, some might say my decision-making skills closely resemble those of a squirrel when crossing a busy road, yet even I would have thought twice about having a wedding in the desert at the exact time of year when birds are forced to use potholders to pull worms out of the ground. The reception guests laughed, and I settled into my seat. Kyle was off to a good start, a few jokes to lighten the mood. There was no need for concern. Let's move on to why I'm here, to deliver a mildly funny, heartwarming best man speech to honor my brother and his beautiful new wife. Kyle stopped to look down at his note cards before throwing them up in the air and watching them cascade to the ground. Nah, we don't need these. I've always been more of a seat-of-the-pants kind of guy. What do you say? Should I wing it? No, no winging it. Anything but winging it. By the amused smirk on Kyle's face, I knew it was already too late. He was improvising, and there was nothing I could do to stop it. Buckling in, I held on for the ride. First off, I'd like to acknowledge my brother for picking me. Dude, I know you had options, and honestly, you probably should have taken them. This could very well become the second very bad decision of your wedding. The crowd applauded his cocky warning, seemingly bloodthirsty for some good old-fashioned dirt. But although Kyle certainly had the mud to sling, I had faith that he'd never bury me under a pile of sludge. Kyle was nothing if not loyal. He had my back even when I gave him no reason to, and had never, in all the years, wavered in his devotion to me. So even though he was clearly planning on embarrassing me, I was certain his ribbing would all be in good fun. After all, Kyle knew the boundaries and had never been one to toe the line. So where to start? I met Jake in the 90s, and to be honest, when we were first introduced, I wasn't all that impressed. He's not a bad-looking guy now, but back then, ladies, he was bald, chubby around the middle, and he had these short, stubby little legs. I was a baby, I called out. Jake, please, don't interrupt. See, this is the type of thing I have to deal with on a daily basis. Anyway, as I was saying, our dashing groom wasn't what we'd consider classically handsome back then. And to make matters worse, he wobbled around when he walked, stumbling into walls. And you know, the way he carried that bottle around? I'll admit, I thought he had a drinking problem. But thankfully, our little sumo wrestler grew out of the awkward stage and became a pretty cool toddler. Then an even more impressive kid. I took to following him around just so I wouldn't miss anything. And that, in a nutshell, is our relationship today. The end. I pushed back my seat and abruptly stood, clapping for him, as if it truly were the end of his speech. Kyle acknowledged my presence, grinning, before saying, "Sit down. I'm not finished with you yet." And that's when I got to hear his retelling of the time when I was 11 years old, at a water park with my friends, and they dared me to go down the slide both head first and backward. The string on my swim trunks had broken earlier in the day, and I'd tied it loosely together to keep them up. Well, the minute I hit the rushing water, my shorts ripped clean off, and I rode the whole way down naked. And, of course, he couldn't forget to tell the story of the flock of geese that flew over the stage during an outdoor concert and began dropping shit bombs on those of us performing below. Yes, I looked up at the most inopportune time and took a direct hit. The creamy white concoction splattered all over my face, invading my eyes, mouth, and nostrils. The concert was postponed 15 minutes so I could go backstage to take a shower and throw up. He then retold the story of his first meeting with Casey and how he knew the two of us were meant to be when I refrained from murdering Quinn after he made me eat the booger bean in the bean-boozled jelly bean game we were playing. Casey, on behalf of our family, I want to officially welcome you. And now that you're a McAllister, you've got to start behaving like one. So, just to make things easier for you, I've compiled a list of the family rules that we'd like you to follow. Number one, refrain from laughing at our father's jokes. They aren't funny, and by doing so, you're only encouraging the behavior to continue. Number two, whoever sees the cat puke on the floor has to pick it up. Playing ignorant and pretending not to see it only works when no one else is home. Number three, When you get up from your seat to move about the room, do not expect your spot to be there when you get back. The McAllister household honors the rule of move your feet, lose your seat.